3:16 and John 20:21. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be, what? Saved. John 20:21 is kind of our theme verse for Missions Conference next week. Jesus says, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. So we're going to talk a little bit about the mission this evening, Christ's part, and our part. So let's pray once more. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, the opportunity to look into it, be reminded of the mission that is laid out before us. We pray, Lord, and all the other responsibilities of life, we would not forget this one. Lord, I pray that you bless our missionaries. Pray that you bless our outreach. Pray that we would see more souls saved and lives changed. And we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us here on this corner to be a lighthouse for Jesus Christ, to be the lower lights, to help people see the way to the light of the world who gave his life for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, when someone is sent on a mission, they go with a sense of both what must be accomplished and usually why it must be accomplished. Several years ago, a Navy SEAL team, I think it was Navy SEAL Team 6, went on a mission over in, I don't know if it's Afghanistan or Pakistan, but in the mountains over there, on a mission to eliminate a man by the name of Osama bin Laden. This was the feat they were to perform, and the purpose to make sure the man responsible for so many civilian deaths in 9/11 and other attacks around the world would never have the opportunity to do that again. They accomplished their mission. Osama was killed, not solely out of a need for justice to be served, but also to save lives, other lives. There are several firefighters and a couple policemen I used to see when I worked as a traffic crossing guard at Keswick. They dropped their kids off on that side of the street and usually would walk across, and I got to talk to them. These brave people often work long shifts. I spoke to a couple of them yesterday. There were several firemen at Charles Mixon's funeral, Al's friend that passed away, and two of Charles Mixon's sons are firefighters in the area. And got to talk to some of their that were there to give their respects to Charles and also for the sons that they worked with. A lot of times they work 24 hours on and 48 hours off. So a shift is 24 hours. And so that whole 24 hours you are on duty. So they work long shifts. They work through the night. They're often rudely awakened out of sleep by the sound of alarms calling them to the next mission. So I don't know about you, but I'm not really big on loud alarms going off in the middle of the night. But that's their job. They're there, and if the alarm goes off, they have to, in a moment's notice, jump out of bed, get their stuff on, and off they go. Off they go to rescue someone. To save someone's property from utter destruction, to rescue someone from the clutches of a raging fire, to extricate them from the wreckage of a vehicle crash, policemen to stop a crime in action sometimes, to put their life at risk, to protect the innocent. They have a job to do and a good reason for doing it. Mainly, what is their job, particularly firefighters? It is to save lives. Mm-hmm. Thus, the mission of our Savior, to rescue or deliver people who cannot save themselves. Our Savior Jesus Christ came to earth to save sinners. That would be us. That would be Paul. You might recall, having seen this verse this morning, there might be a couple verses in common with tonight that there was this morning. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Came not into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Christ came with a purpose, and that was to save lost souls into a world that needed and still needs today a Savior. There is a reason we need a Savior, and that reason is sin. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. This was necessary because, well, God created human beings. He put them in the Garden of Eden, made them in His image, and then they chose to do what? They chose to rebel. They chose to disobey their Creator. Adam and Eve disobeyed their benevolent Master in the Garden of Eden, and the consequences, which God forewarned, came to be. They died physically. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. They were cast out of the garden. They became sinners, as were all their children, as did all their children, who shortly turned their back on God altogether, whose thoughts became only wicked continually, as we read in Genesis 6. And further judgment came upon them. We call that the flood. And God started over with Noah and his family. Throughout history, God would judge and God would save a remnant and God would put them back on the right path. And again they would stray and they would turn away from him time after time after time. Why? Because they're what? They're sinners. Jesus said, "You're of your father, of the devil. He is a liar from the beginning, and you're just like him." We chose the wrong path. Humanity did. Humanity needs a what? They need a Savior. They need a rescuer. They need a deliverer to deliver them. They cannot deliver themselves. It just won't happen. Because sin has its foothold. And we can't change who we are. Only Jesus can change who we are. Romans chapter 1. I want to read a few verses from Romans 1. Romans 1, Paul kind of reiterates the cycle here that we see all throughout Scripture. In verse 21, it says, "Because that when they knew God..." declaring to us that there was a day that they knew God. Did Adam and Eve know God? Yes, but what happened after that? Did Noah and his family know God? Yeah, they knew God. At one point, every human being on this world knew God. But they strayed, didn't they? Did Abraham's family know God? Yes, they did. But his descendants strayed too. Romans 1:21 again, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, to birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or fitting. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. We see many in our society today who have turned their backs on God. Was there a day in the past of the United States where most people had a knowledge of God? Yeah. Because we see that in our founding documents, that that was generally the case. Is that the case today? No. No, many have turned their back on God, have determined to make sure that their kids don't hear about God. And here we are in Romans chapter 1, going back down the same rabbit hole that societies have done through history time and time and time again. Been given over by God to a reprobate mind to do those things which are both in defiance and irrational. You say, God, I don't want you to be part of my life, and I don't want to hear. Sadly, this is what happens. And we see it all over around us. We hear about it in politics and education. Despite the attempts to paint these reprobate behaviors as normal, they're not. They are an affront to God, and they are the result of what? They're the result of sin. Despite our best efforts, here we are again. Just to underscore the point, humanity needs a what? Savior. Humanity needs saving. We don't need just a better government or better governors. We don't need more money, more things. We don't need a better system, political system, school system. We need saving from ourselves. We need a Savior. And so, Jesus' mission for coming into the world, to save sinners. Point number two. Reason for the mission and Christ's mission to save the lost. Yes, humanity definitely needs saving. Only God can save His lost creation, and that is why Jesus came. That was His mission and purpose in going to the cross, to save sinners, that the world through Him might be saved, to seek and to save that which was lost, to rescue us from ourselves and deliver us from the bondage of sin and Satan into the grace and mercy of God. In giving Paul's testimony in Acts 26, he puts it this way, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, Paul is speaking about the ministry that God gave him, but that is just an extension of the ministry the Father gave to the Son, Jesus Christ. For He came into the world to open the eyes of the lost, to turn them from darkness to light, to save them from the power of Satan, to forgive our sins. This was His mission, and He performed it perfectly. He lived an obedient life, And he went obediently to the cross to die, not for his sins, but for whose? But for ours. God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not only did he do exactly what he came to do, but he rose again from the dead, and he went back to heaven, and as our risen and ascended Lord, he continues to perform that mission every day for those who come to him in repentance and faith, accepting him as their Lord and Savior. He saves their souls. He intercedes for them in heaven, where he is preparing a place for them, a place described in Revelation 21 and 22, if you want to know what it's like. And it's a wonderful place. And Jesus performed what he came to do, and he is performing it today. Because he is a risen Savior, it says he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Seeing he ever lives, he's my advocate at the right hand of the Father. He is going to finish what he started. However, his mission isn't fully complete until every last soul is saved. For God is not long-suffering to usward. For God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. And until the day that that last soul trusts Christ, his mission isn't complete. One day that last lost sheep will respond in faith to the Master's voice, and he will come for us. How are those souls saved? Well, Romans 10. So look in Romans 10. How are those souls saved? Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Remember, what's Christ's mission? To save souls. Okay? That's why he came, that's why he died, that's why he rose again. That's what he went back to heaven to finish doing. And if we'll confess Jesus as Lord, believe in our heart that he is a risen Savior, then we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be shamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the world needs a Savior, because we're all what? Sinners. So Christ came to earth, sent by the Father, for the purpose of saving sinners. How? By dying on the cross and rising again from the grave. And then he went back where? Heaven, where he is our advocate at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to intercede for those who put their faith and trust in him, where he is preparing a place for us. However, is the mission finished? No. Because that last lost sheep has yet to what? Yeah, has yet to be found, has yet to come to Christ, has yet to answer his master's voice in faith. You see, this isn't just Christ's mission, this is also whose mission? It's our mission. Because we have a part in this mission. We have an important part in this mission. Christ entrusted us with a very important part in his mission. For as he is in heaven answering the prayers of those who come to him in faith, those people to come to him in faith need to hear what? They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the good news. And who's that been left up to? That's been left up to us. You see, Romans 10 tells us here, people are saved only when they call on Christ to be the Lord and Savior of their life. In order for them to call on Christ to be the Lord and Savior of their life, they need to hear about him. They need to hear the good news of the gospel. In order for them to hear the gospel and the word of God, someone has to do what? Someone has to tell them. And that is where we come in. And our part is important. Because how shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how are they going to hear unless somebody does what? And somebody tells them. Yeah. And who is God sent to tell them? Us. Not just the preacher. The word here, preacher, isn't speaking of the office of in a church. It's someone who proclaims the good news. God has called me to preach the gospel here in Clearwater. He has called me to preach the gospel in this church. He has called me to preach this gospel to the people that I cross paths with. However, he hasn't called me to preach the gospel to the people that you cross paths with. Because the two might not be the what? They might not be the same. And I may never cross paths with the people you work with or the neighbors that you have. But you might. I will likely never cross paths till I get to heaven someday with the vast majority of people that our missionaries have taken the Word of God to. Chances are I won't see them till the pearly gates. So that's their mission. This is our mission. We have an important part. Again, in Acts 26, the verse we read a moment ago, from Acts 26:18, Paul isn't explaining primarily Christ's part in the mission. He's explaining his part in the mission. Christ came to save them. Now, he's given me the responsibility to take the message to them, to open their eyes, to deliver them from Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins. Paul is saying, this is why I do this. I don't do it for fame. I don't do it for popularity. I don't do it for money. I'm doing it for one reason. I don't want to be a hero. I just need to fulfill the responsibility God has given me. And I have a part in his mission. And so do we. Your part may not be to go to the other side of the world. It may not be to go to the next state or the next town. But It might be to hand a tract to the waitress or waiter at the restaurant or the bank teller, or talk to your neighbor about what God's doing in your life and look for an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. This is our mission, not just His. We have an important part to play. Christ implied this when He asked His disciples early on in His ministry to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into His harvest. What was He talking about? He was talking about a harvest of souls that needed to be saved. Jesus asked His disciples, before He asked them to go, He asked them to pray that God would send forth people to go. He continued to emphasize this part of the mission, which is ours also, when He requested that they follow Him so that He might make them fishers of men. Furthermore, when He said in John 21, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And then just before His ascension, He spelled it out a little more clearly. Matthew 28, He commanded His disciples who represent His church. He said, all power is given unto me into heaven and earth. That word power does not mean ability or strength. That word power means authority. Jesus saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What mission did Jesus pass along to the church? The mission to send out the what? To send out the gospel, to send out the message, to send out the word. That is our part. God takes His word and the Holy Spirit uses it as the sword of the Spirit, brings conviction in the hearts and lives of people, brings them to faith in Jesus Christ, whereby they are saved. But they need to hear. And God has called us to make disciples. This phrase here, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach, the first teach, not the later teaching, but the first word teach all nations there, that means to make disciples. And how do we make disciples? We make disciples by giving them the gospel. That's how we make disciples. We make converts. Make converts. And then baptize them in the name of Jesus. And then teach them everything that I have taught you. Thus He confirmed their part in the mission, and ours too. And again in Acts 1:8, right before He went back to heaven, He said this, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God has given us a person, a power to aid us, to help us in this mission. Who is that? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you go back to Jerusalem, wait, because you're going to need help. You can't do this alone. You can't do this in the flesh. Your intellect and your education isn't enough. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. So go back to Jerusalem, and I will send the Holy Spirit, and He is going to help you to fulfill your part of the what? The mission. What's the mission? To save lost souls. Thus Christ included us in His mission. He finished the sacrifice which was required to pay the price for man's rebellion on the cross and to make the way of salvation. But we also have a part to play in the salvation of humanity. And we also have been sent as He. Next week, Saturday, we start our missions conference. And going to take a little bit of time next week and the next week to explain our worldwide missions ministry. And that worldwide missions ministry, it's represented by the board back there in the corner. And by the meter up here that tells us how close we're getting to reaching our goal. And also by the flags that'll be up next week. That worldwide missions ministry of Missouri Avenue Baptist Church is part of the ministry of Jesus Christ in reaching lost souls and saving them. And it's an important ministry. We support missionaries in prayers. We support them in encouragement and wisdom. I take the time each week to put a missionary of the week in the bulletin and put their email address. And there are times, many times, that I fail myself to send them an email that week and tell them we're praying for them, but it's something I should remember to do every time their name comes up. And not only would it help them for me to do that, but the reason I put it in the bulletin is so that you can do that. Just imagine what encouragement it would be if the Gibbons this week should get 20 emails from people in this church simply saying, "I'm praying for you." You know, not asking them 100 questions, but just simply saying, "I'm praying for you." Do you think that would encourage them? Miss Cheryl, you've been on the mission field. Do you think that would encourage them? Yeah. I know it would. Because we like to be encouraged. I'm sure they do too. And it's something simple we can do. Just get on the email and say, "Hey, you're our missionary of the week. Just want you to know we're praying for you." We can support them in our prayers, support them in our encouragement, support them in wisdom and love, finances, to aid them in reaching others that we cannot. Because God has called them to go to Brazil or to England or to Uruguay. He called them and not us. But does that mean we can't have a part? No, we can. By praying for them, by encouraging them, by supporting them, so that they can focus on the ministry of the gospel and not have to worry if they're going to have enough money to buy food for their family or have a place over their head or have the finances and support they need in order to grow the ministry. They need those things just the same as we do. We can have a part. We should have a part. Next Sunday morning, or actually Saturday, there will be pamphlets out on the back table that explain how our missions ministry is set up. And I will announce that again next week on probably several occasions. We may just put the pamphlets in the bulletin. I've done that before as well. But the money you give, just put in the plates. Unless it's designated to missions, it doesn't go to missions. So if you want your money specifically to go to international missions, then mark it on the envelope so we know that amount is to go to our missionaries. And our missionaries are supported solely out of the missions fund from that designated money. And I am encouraged every year. for the last 10 years, I don't think we've gone a year that we haven't met our goal. And our goal has been increasing a little every year. Even several years ago when we had several young families that decided to flee the state and move to Wisconsin, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, North Carolina. Anyway, our missions giving didn't drop. And that's amazing. That is amazing. But maybe we can do even a little better. Inflation isn't just happening in the United States, it's also happening in England, and it's also happening in Brazil and everywhere around the world. So maybe the Lord would have us to help a little more if we can, but even if you can't give more, can you pray more? Can you take time to send a quick email saying we're praying for you? Those things matter. The tracts that are on the back table, taking them and handing them out to somebody, that does matter. Because some of those are going to get read. It may be 1 out of 10, it may be 1 out of 20, it may be 1 out of 100. But if it's 1 out of 100 and we pass out 1,000, that means that 10 of them got read. And it may be we'll get to heaven someday and we'll meet somebody that got saved after they read one of those tracts. Maybe we just planted a seed and somewhere along the line somebody else watered it. But it's worth our time and effort. It's our mission too. And maybe your part may seem smaller compared to others, but that doesn't make it less important. Are you doing your part? Will we do our part? Yes, there are many important things which vie for our time and attention and finances in life. Just don't let this one slip by, because it is important too. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be part of this mission to save sinners, to save souls. Lord, you sent somebody with the gospel to us. Lord, sometimes I think we forget to be as grateful as we ought to be to you and to them. Lord, thank you for bringing us the gospel. Lord, there are boys and girls, men and women all around this world, and some of them might be next door that need it too. Lord, you died for them. You will welcome them into your arms if they will receive you. Lord, help us not to pass up the opportunity that may be ours, just to hand them a tract or to tell them what Jesus is doing in our life, that they might want to know a little bit more, that they might recognize Jesus in our life, that they might come to him and be saved also. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.